You know, Sunday nights are pretty much the connecting business. We've decided to use that as our theme for the entire year, connections. And we've talked about getting connected and strengthening our connection with a lot of the different aspects of serving God. And this month, for the month of May, we're talking about getting connected, or I like to say strengthening our connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to get connected with Jesus, obviously one has to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing in Him as God's Son, repenting of one's sins, confessing faith in Jesus as Lord and Master and Savior, and of course being baptized in order that sins will be washed away, initiating or beginning that life as a new creature. But as we go on through our lives, there will be times when we need to work on, in fact, there won't be any time that we don't need to work on strengthening our connections to Jesus. Now, you know me well enough to know that if there's a song in our songbook somewhere that addresses the subject matter at hand, I'm going to grab hold of it, and that's the case tonight. We're going to use a song for our study. It's one of my favorite songs, Nearer Still Nearer. And you could say the subtitle of our study tonight is Nearer Still Nearer, Close to Thy Heart. Had a preacher tell me one time that he thought it was probably something akin to cheating if you use a song that we sing a lot for your outline or your source for organization in a sermon. And I happen to know that that guy was one of the worst in the world about stealing other people's material and putting his name on it without, you know, giving credit to where it came from. And so I just kind of scratched my head and couldn't ever figure out how he thought I was the greater transgressor in the matter. But, you know, I think our songs that we sing provide for us some of the greatest resources, especially when we have an opportunity to slow down and look at those words very carefully and see what all is there. You know, we would have to admit that our song services are not always geared toward getting the absolute most we possibly can out of the message of a song. And I don't think you have to in order for that to be effective as worship to God and encouragement to one another. But I think that at times like this, when we can spend a little extra time looking at the words of a song and examining a song closely and carefully, I'm telling you what, you people over here just don't have anybody with you. These guys have got everything. I'm having a hard time staying balanced in looking back and forth. So if you feel neglected, either bring somebody with you next time, or I guess you could move over there and sit with them, but just an observation, you know. I sat on this side too before I got up to preach, and so I can't say too very much. But anyway, I think this will be beneficial to us to take a little closer look at this particular song, and I really struggled with how to do this. I thought about just getting Matt to lead it, and Matt had such a good selection of his songs already picked out. I didn't want to interrupt that, and so I'm going to lead this song as we examine it, but we'll take it a verse at a time. And so let's just get introduced to the song itself. It was written by Mrs. C.H. Morris. That's how she signed her name to most of the songs that she wrote. She wrote over 1,000 songs and tunes and published quite a few of them. And it is said that she did her best work writing and composing songs and even figuring out tunes to them as she went about her housework at home. Along about 1913, her eyesight began to fail, and her son built her a huge chalkboard or blackboard and put it in her house. It was 28 feet long with a tremendously exaggerated staff on it that she could use in writing and composing. And she continued to write and compose actively until close to her death in 1929. I don't know if I mentioned it or not, but this song was first published, Nearer, Still Nearer, along about 1890 or so. Someone told me this morning, I believe it was Brother Harold, said, you know, I got to looking at the songbook, and he said, I realized that, you know, in the other than the songs that are being written right now, there's about a 100-year gap between what's written now and what was written so long ago that we sing as some of our most familiar songs. And you know, that's very true. Songwriting was, and songwriters were very prolific in the 1800s, but some of our songs even date back before that. Mrs. Morris published some that you would recognize, Sweet Will of God, My Stubborn Will at Last Hath Yielded. Sweeter as the Years Go By, we've sung that one quite a bit. Let Jesus Come Into Your Heart, that's one that you really have to sing with some understanding because to take it literally, that's not what we need to discuss tonight, but Mrs. Morris was a Methodist, and She wrote under a great deal of influence of her faith and her beliefs in the Scriptures. Each verse of this song, there are four verses. Each verse has some very distinctive things in it, and I just jotted these down and want to go over them with you. Verse 1. I find in verse 1 three, I call them protective verbs. Now, you know what a verb is. A verb is an action word. It's a word that expresses action. And there are three particular verbs used in this first verse that are very protective in their message. The first verse says, nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart, draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Secondly, fold me, oh, fold me, close to thy breast. Third, shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Jesus made reference to drawing, he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. John 12, verse 32. The drawing of men unto him, as Jesus expresses it there, has as much to do with the providing or the opening up the way for men to come to Jesus. And I think in his discussion at that particular time, Jesus probably gave special emphasis to the term all men. I will draw all men unto me. Fold me. The word fold is often used as a noun in Scripture, the name of something, and most often it had to do with the shepherd and the sheep fold, which was what we would today, I think, properly would call it a pen, the pen for the sheep. But this is a verb. This is referring to an action. Fold me, oh, fold me close to thy breast. You know what we would say today. We would say, put your arms around me and pull me close. Fold me close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. The psalmist speaks particularly often about the shelter that we have. In fact, in Psalm 61 and verse 4, he makes reference to taking shelter refuge under the shelter of your wings. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Now, I want you to join me as we sing the first verse. We've got some careful coordination going on here, just so you'll know some of the things that have to go on behind the scenes. Matthew's going to take over advancing the slides. Aubrey's going to turn my microphone down so that it doesn't blast as I lead this song. And so you didn't realize all of the things that had to come together, assuming they are going to come together right as we do this.
Nearer, still nearer, close to my heart, draw me, my Savior, so precious at heart.
The next verse, verse 2, I've written down the word destitution. Not destination, but destitution. As in, we are destitute when we truly come to the Lord. And even as we seek to draw nearer to the Lord, destitution helps a lot. You see, if we don't have all of these things in the way, all of these concerns, all of this stuff, it makes it easier to get closer to Jesus. You ever thought about that? Nearer, still nearer, nothing I bring, not as an offering to Jesus my King, only my sinful, now contrite heart, grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. It is not as though we have to come with a payment. You go to your doctor, they'll say, bring a list of your medicine, your insurance card, and a means of payment. Now, they may forget to mention the medicines. They may forget that you're going to need to bring your insurance card, but they will never forget to tell you you need to bring a form of payment. Now, that generally means a credit card or cash money. They don't care either way. But you got to bring a way to pay for what you get. If we could but adequately express the fact that there is no payment that we have to make in order to obtain salvation. There isn't anything that we have that would make a worthy payment. There isn't anything that we could accomplish to say, okay, I've done all of these great things. Now, maybe I've earned my salvation. That's not the way it works. Nothing I bring as an offering to Jesus my King. We come best to the Lord when we come destitute. We find it easier to get closer to the Lord when we come destitute. Let's sing verse 2 together. Verse 3 is all about exclusivity. I like that word. Exclusivity. Don't get to use it much. So I try to include it in a sermon at least once a month or so. Exclusivity. Nearer, still nearer, Lord, to be thine. Sin with its follies I gladly resign. All of its pleasures, pomp, and its pride, give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. Give me but Jesus, my Lord crucified. In Luke chapter 9, from verses 57 to 62. We find this. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home. And Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. One of the things that should characterize us as God's children should be that we see Jesus as our exclusive master. He is our exclusive concern. Now, exclusive doesn't necessarily mean that there isn't something else along the way, but it means that there never will be anything as important as that. Maybe priority should be a word we ought to introduce into this conversation. Jesus requires first place in our lives. Let's sing verse 3.
Nearer still.
Verse 4 lets us know that there are two stages. Now, you might think that something that has two stages means that there's a first part and a second part, and that would be true of the reward that we receive from serving the Lord. But you also need to understand there is another way we use that word stage. Stage as, well, almost as in the area or the designated place where something takes place or something happens. We serve the Lord on this earth. And that is a stage upon which we operate. And then the Lord, in His very own words, assures us that there is another stage upon which we are rewarded. That's in heaven. The song says it like this, nearer, still nearer, while life shall last. That's the earthly stage. That's the stage we're on right now. Till safe in glory, my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to be, nearer my Savior, still nearer to thee. Till safe in glory, my anchor is cast. That seems to be a reference to death, the point or the event that takes place from which there is no turning back from. And then what follows that is the heavenly existence, the heavenly reward. In Luke chapter 18, beginning in that's not the reference that I wanted on there. But there was an occasion when Peter said to the Lord, Lord, we have left all to follow you. And Jesus said, I say unto you that all of those who have left father and mother and houses and land shall receive in this life manyfold, and then in the life to come, eternal life. The point is, there are blessings in reward for serving God on this earth. Some people would have you to believe that serving God here on the earth is all drudgery and pain and toil and suffering and hardship and difficulty. We talked about that this morning, and there is no shortage of that in our earthly existence. But the Bible makes it clear that God blesses His people on this earth. It might not be blessings that are measured in terms of the size of your bank account. It might not be blessing measured in terms of the size of your house on the street that you live on versus the size of everybody else's house, or how old your car is, or those are not God's way of measuring the greatest blessings. And there is great blessing on this earth for God's people. And then, in the life to come, eternal life, existence with God. Let's sing verse 4.
Nearer, still nearer. Still near.
Yes, there's another song that we sing. Relax, I'm not going to sing it. Here's another song that we sing along this same line. And it emphasizes the need to conduct ourselves deeper and deeper into the heart of Jesus. Into the heart of Jesus, deeper and deeper I go, seeking to know the reason why He should love me so. Why He should stoop to lift me up from the miry clay, saving my soul, making me whole, though I had wandered away. So, let me ask you, are you trying to get nearer and nearer, nearer, still nearer? Are you trying to go deeper and deeper into the heart of Jesus? Those are things that ought to characterize us, those of us who are God's children. If you're not one of God's children, let me tell you very simply how you can accomplish that. As we said at the beginning, believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, being buried with Him in baptism, to rise and walk in newness of life, having your sins washed away, becoming a new creature. And then every step of the way, seek to get closer and closer and deeper, connected, even stronger to the Lord. We're going to sing this song as what we sometimes call an invitation song, and it pays tribute to the fact that the Lord said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you need to respond to the Master's invitation in any way, we invite you to do so right now as we stand together and sing this song.